Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the exploited labor.
Really, dude. Yeah, we're all exploited in our own ways. You're just saying that because you're Asian.
The Asian persuasion.
Dude, it's not our a porn guest. Movie.
Mark.
Yeah, we've got a guest. Well, he's sort of a guest. I mean, he's, you know, it's Brian. He's been on the show before.
And this is Brian.
Yeah. I mean,
what's up, Brian?
What qualifies as a guest? I mean, like, what does Brian do? He doesn't have his own podcast, so he's not here to promote anything. So is he, like, really a guest? You know, he's just a dude that comes and hangs out.
I'm a guest.
John Wick impersonator.
He's
after some crying and begging,
he's a guest
for me to be on.
But
the show.
But he's not a special guest. He's just a guest.
No.
But he is special.
Special, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, he actually did kind of beg me. He's like, man, when are you gonna let me come on the show again, man? And I didn't really. He was asking me what movies we were doing. I didn't really have the list on me, and I forgot that we were doing Rogue One. And so, you know, when Brian listened to last week's episode, he's like, you got to let me come on and talk Star Wars, man. Because, you know, Brian, like, we all love Star Wars, but Brian loves Star Wars. Brian would marry Star Wars if he could.
So, you know. Yes, I would. Hey, you know, I'm only a six costume member of the 501st. You know, no big deal.
Yeah. See, but he literally, there was some begging that was ensued. And I gave in. I felt it was like a puppy dog in the street that I felt sorry for. I was like, okay, Brian, you can come on the show. You know, as long as you promise to behave yourself.
Hey, I'm not afraid.
And he said yes. And he said yes, Mark. Well, no comment. No, I'm just kidding. Walked into that one too easily. But how are you guys? How's y'all's week been? We know Long that you are struggling with your job and your, you know, but hopefully your whole week hasn't been bad. Hopefully.
Yeah. I'm just glad it ended. Oh, moving on.
I've got one more day left in my week. So I'll work tomorrow for like 4 hours and then I'm off on Sunday. So it's not too bad.
Well, we had inventory at work this week. So it was, it felt like, you know, 5 Mondays this week. So you already had the week after Thanksgiving that feels like, you feel like the week after Thanksgiving feels like 5 Mondays, and this week felt like 5 Mondays also. And then next week you're going to start jumping into, we'll start getting a little busy as we get close to Christmas. Just a couple weeks away. So, yeah.
Yeah, Mark, I only have a 3-day work week this week, so I'm happy.
Nice. Then there's Matt with this easy job to sit behind a desk and talking to truck drivers. Yeah. And
he knows my job so well. I don't know how he knows
I'm
this.
Just saying.
He's never been there.
And apparently
he knows it.
Apparently looking at porn at work the other day. So, you know.
He's stalking you, Matt. You better watch out.
He knows.
Oh, shit. I hope nobody from your job. I hope nobody from your job listens to this show.
I think
somebody from your job listens to the show. You're doing what at work?
No, it depends.
He wasn't yesterday, really looking important at work. That's clarified.
Yesterday was a more eventful day. Usually it's pretty chill, but we had a warehouse supervisor that just walked out, and they're like, now. And then the warehouse was coming up to me like, yeah, we need your help. And so I had both, and I was like, oh,
that's
crap.
Not that,
you know,
that's
there
not
goes
that
my
eventful, Matt.
My coast.
No. That's not.
I was breaking down stuff and building pallets, slinging cases. Man, I still got it for like 30 minutes.
Poor Matt, he had to actually work for once.
What a company, man.
I paid my dues. I paid my dues, man.
By paying dues now.
He's younger than all of us. He's just, let's just motherfucker. He's younger than all of us. He's over here telling us he paid his dues.
Hey, man. That company gave me two herniated discs and a messed up knee.
You just sucked a little more. You just
they tried to fire you.
And they tried to fire me twice. Twice.
Shit. Yeah.
Mark, I want to see Matt spend a day in the meat locker with me. Just one day in the meat locker with me.
Hey, where my bloodline comes from. I would have been a third generation meat cutter had I gone into the meat department.
Bring it on.
Yeah.
Let's do it, man.
Whatever.
Rev up the bandsaw.
Right. All right. So.
All right.
Enough swinging our balls around and just showing how tough we are at our jobs. And we all know Matt doesn't do shit.
I'm not tough at my job.
That's all good. Yeah, you are, Long. You can be. You can be like, get those invoices turned in, or I'm going to charge you $500. That's tough.
Yep. Man. Boom. Do not pass go. You know.
Hey, does real quick, does Big D still work for y'all?
No.
Long?
No,
he doesn't. He I didn't quit. Think he did. Yeah.
He quit. He seemed to have lost weight, too.
Did he?
He looked like he lost weight on one of his Facebook pages that comes across. Huh.
So. All right. Well, let's get into today's show then officially. And but in all seriousness, welcome, Brian. We give you a hard time, but, you know, it's our job to give you our time. But glad to have you on the show. And as we talk, here in a few minutes, we'll start talking and looking back at 5 years since Rogue One came out. Kind of crazy to think that, but it is. But we always start the show with Download This, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, checked out lately. And as custom, usually we let the guests go first. Brian, you watch any cool movies, anything interesting lately? Plenty of good games.
I've been streaming the Rebel Radio podcast at work. Does that count?
It's a good answer.
Yeah.
That's a good answer, man.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've been streaming that at work. I've been streaming some airsoft stuff since I just recently got into airsoft a couple months ago. So trying to get familiar with that. I've got a big event coming up in February that I'm going to. So I've been trying to get stocked up on that. I watched the last Bond. Last week with the wife, so we finally got to see that. It was really good. And then I've been back playing EverQuest again. We got a new expansion coming out, so I'm getting ready for that.
EverQuest is still going on?
Yes, it's still going on.
Holy crap.
Nice.
Wow.
Because people like Brian keep playing it.
Yes.
I've been playing the new expansion pack of Final Fantasy 14, and the story is so good. It just very inspirational.
I'm glad. I guess you got in. I heard the queues were ridiculously long for a few days there.
Yeah, but when you wake up at 5 a.m., no one's online. Like, nice. So I avoided those queues. And once you're inside the game server, it's super stable, you know, so it's the lobby servers that suck right now. But anyhow, it's a very good game. It ties up like 10 years of storyline. So yeah, hats off to the writers. They made a very coherent, consistent story from starting all the way back in 2010. And through now, and it's definitely the best video game story I've ever experienced, and it will compare to the best movie stories and novels out there. It is that good, and I'm not saying that because it's not biased, but it is really good. It has some of the best character work, but yeah, the overall story for Final Fantasy 14, I rank it really high up there for of all the movies I've seen and video games I've played and novels and books I've read. This is definitely in my top three as far as overall plot, characters, and
is it better than 7?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Why'd you mention seven?
The Buster Sword, Sephiroth.
Just because
you
know? It's.
Oh, are you talking about Final Fantasy VII? Yeah. Okay. No, it's better than seven. It's better than six, I have to say.
Wow.
It's better than. I hate to say it though. It's better than some of the Star Trek movies I've seen. Yeah, wow. And some of the Star Wars movies I've seen. It's just that very well plotted. It's up there. I've stayed current with Hawkeye, and that one's it's pretty good. Pretty good chase sequence in it too. Very well done. But yeah, that's about it. Moving on. Who's next?
Yeah.
Matt or Mark?
I also got caught up on Hawkeye. Looks like they are, you know, introducing some other Avengers characters or Avengers-ish characters, I guess, into the series. So that's cool.
Let me guess, that giraffe Easter egg gets clued us in.
It is. Mephisto, the giraffe. Someone's probably got a YouTube video on it. Stupid Easter eggs
people come up with.
So two more episodes. I know some people are bashing it, but you know, it's kind of fun to have a holiday style, Avengers miniseries kind of thing. So we'll see where it goes. I didn't watch a movie until today, and, Jackie wanted to watch XXX. So I watched XXX.
What?
I'm sorry. I did. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I do like the beginning whenever he's like, because I was like, oh crap, Tony Hawk's in this movie. Yeah. And then the only other thing this week for me to, you know, that I played was Ghostbusters Remastered. I finally finished it. I'd never played the game before. I had bought it and I started it and I never finished it because I was late to the game. I didn't have an Xbox 360. I had an Xbox and I bought it and I bought the Xbox 360 game, never finished it. Bought the remastered one, 2 weeks ago, and cool story, you know? I looked at some of the extras on there, whenever they built the Ecto-1, how they had to keep everybody out and what they had to go through to put it together. It was pretty cool watching them sand everything down and build it. And, They got some help from some local Ghostbusters like cosplay groups, but like 501st, but for Ghostbusters, you know, those guys that pop up at the con every year. Pretty cool stuff. Definitely feeling the want for more Ghostbusters. So we'll see what comes in the next few years, but that's about it.
I actually have a few friends in the 501st that do the whole Ghostbusters thing. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's pricey. I was looking at some of those packs.
I saw Facebook photos of them being out at movie theaters for the releases in their full Ghostbusters outfits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the gallows humor. So some of the Ghostbusters folks are like, you know, visiting kids at the, you know, cancer hospitals and stuff. It's like, oh, that's a cool photo. And then, you know, all the Ghostbusters standing around the, you know, these kids in the cancer ward, you know, and someone put a comment, they're camping. It's like, oh my God, you bastards.
That's horrible. You
fucking bastards. So I shouldn't laugh at that. I'm going to hell for laughing at that. It's like, oh my God. Anyways.
I've watched quite a bit. I finished the second part of the Masters of the Universe Revelations cartoon, and it was really good. I really liked it a lot. All those fanboys that were crying over the first half, hopefully they watched the second half or realized, like, hey, the story wasn't complete. Let it finish. And once the story was complete, it was really well done. Hats off to Kevin Smith and his crew with a good job with the Masters of the Universe cartoon, and hopefully they do more. I also finished the we'll talk about it more later, but apparently the first and only season of Cowboy Bebop. And again, I thought it was a good job with the show being the way they did it. I watched 8-Bit Christmas with the kids on HBO Max. And that was a fun little movie. You know, it's kind of cheesy, family-friendly. But I can see how it could become a Christmas classic. It's got all those kind of makings of typically dumb, silly family Christmas movies where people will watch it every year. It tells a story about a kid who wants a Nintendo for Christmas. And it's not necessarily about like a search movie about getting a Nintendo. It's about how he comes about trying to get a Nintendo for Christmas. And it's a pretty funny little movie. It was cute. The kids enjoyed it. And I haven't watched episode 4 of Hawkeye, but I did finally get around to watching the first 3. And, I really like it so far. I think it's well done. It makes me feel like I wasn't sure if Hawkeye could carry his own show or movie, but it makes me feel like maybe he should have gotten his own film. Cause I really like it. I love Haley Stanfield as Kate Bishop. She's fantastic. It's just, I think it's really well done. I'm curious where they're going to go with it. I really, like, I texted you guys the other day. Man, what if they kill him off? I'm getting this stinking feeling that they could kill Hawkeye off in this thing. And the show just ends with his death.
Nah,
I
mean, he has a family.
Yeah, but, you know, it could happen. I'm just saying.
What kind of a way to end the Christmas-themed Marvel movie with Hawkeye?
I know, right? It could happen.
They won't go that far. Yeah.
But I like it, man.
Poor man's already deaf.
Yeah, that was kind of odd. Like, they just sort of introduced him being kind of deaf all of a sudden, like, after Endgame. And it's like, but it's cool, though, you know, that they have ASL characters and stuff like that in the show. I think it's good, though. Haley Stanfield's definitely the high point of the show. She's fantastic. Does a really good job. And she makes a great Kate Bishop. And it's pretty exciting. I look forward to seeing her and more MCU stuff in the future. I'm sure they'll expand this out where she'll show up in other Marvel things for sure. Maybe a Young Avengers movie in time. But I like it. It's good stuff. I'm trying to think if I watched anything else. I mean, that was already quite a bit. Like I said, I had some time to watch some stuff this week. And so it was good. And what's funny is I'd even watch the movie that we're fixing to talk about, but I've seen the movie enough that I didn't really feel I needed to watch it, but I just didn't have time. I was watching other things at least. So, you know, so I guess it counts for something, right?
Esk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Says the guy who probably didn't watch the movie or watch it 5 weeks in a row.
I did. No.
So let's get into today's featured film. It's this movie was announced shortly after the Disney Lucasfilm merger back in 2012 or 13 when they announced they were bringing Star Wars back and they announced they were going to do a new sequel trilogy. They were going to do a series of spinoff films, and at the time, they announced Rogue One and they announced that they were going to do a Han Solo movie, and there are all kinds of rumors of Obi-Wan movies and Boba Fett movies and all kinds of stuff, which is not exactly the way things planned out. We did get a couple of these story movies. We had Solo, a Star Wars story. We got Rogue One, a Star Wars story. Some of the other ones are coming out in the forms of a television miniseries on Disney Plus, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes that format can work very well to tell stories that might not need to be told theatrically. But we did get at least 2 spinoff Star Wars movies in this current Disney Star Wars era. And it started in 2018. No. 16. Yeah. 2016 when Star Wars Rogue One, a Star Wars story, hit theaters. Basically, I'll summarize it as we usually do. And basically, to summarize this, it is the story of how the rebels stole the Death Star plans. It's that simple. As a ragtag group of warriors come together on a mission to steal the Death Star plans and give hope to the rebellion, because rebellions are built on hope. starring Diego Luna as Cassian Andor. You've got Forrest Whitaker in this movie, which still throws me off a little bit, seeing Forrest Whitaker in a Star Wars movie. Ben Mendelsohn is an excellent villain in this. Felicity, what's her last name that plays Jenner? So I always forget her last name. But she, man, what is that girl? Jones? Felicity Jones, right?
Yeah.
Plays Jenner. So, and the great Donnie Yen as Chouette in this, and Riz Ahmed as Bodhi. Just a really good cast, man. That's what the most impressive thing about Rogue One is.
Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk is the voice of K2SO. I'm not as high. A lot of fanboys really love Alan Tudyk. He's all right. You know, he gets a little annoying at times too. You know, that's my thing about him.
That's fair.
Like, my one beef with Rogue One is I think the droid's a little annoying. When K2SO dies, I'm kind of like, okay, fine, he's gone. That's kind of how I feel in this movie. Damn. It's just like, I found him a little annoying in the film. But even when I saw it originally, it might be I think Rogue One, you know, is a solid, solid film, but the droid is just kind of like, yeah, okay. But, you know, I know we all saw this in theaters when it came out. It's not that old. And my first initial thoughts walking out of Rogue One that day back in 2016 was that was a really cool war movie set in the Star Wars universe, you know? And that's essentially what this is. It's a kind of a look at the underground happenings of the Star Wars universe. And it's essentially a war film. And it's shot extremely well by Gareth Edwards, who also directed the Godzilla reboot a couple years earlier, and which was also a well-shot film. And that's one thing I do like about Gareth Edwards is he has an incredible eye as far as setting up truly cinematic shots. Even in Godzilla and in this, there's some of the best cinematography in all the Star Wars films in this movie, and that says a lot. And that was just my initial thoughts on Rogue One. What are some of y'all's initial thoughts when it first came out?
The special effects and how they did the CGI with Grand Moff Tarkin and Leia in this is what really threw me for a loop. And then you've got the archive. We came to find out later the archive footage of Rogue 5 as well. Really blew my mind how you just see stuff that you've never seen before, but you're like, wow, these people are, you know, no longer with us. How did they do that? Kind of thing blew my mind.
Yeah, definitely. Fans love this movie for a reason. I liked it. I just watch it for the space battles. Honestly, it's definitely one of the best space battles in Star Wars. It's up there with Return of the Jedi, for sure. Definitely in the top three Star Wars space battles. And I like it.
I think that whole battle on Scarif. That whole battle on Scarif, I think, is, like you said, Long, one of the best space battles out there, just with all the cinematography and everything. I really enjoy that.
And creative, too, because I've never seen on... I mean, it's been suggested on film that in the Empire, where the Star Destroyers crash into each other trying to chase down the Millennium Falcon, but they took it up a whole new level in that scene where the Hammerhead Corvettes rammed the Star Destroyer right into the other one. Mm-hmm. Just like a, what, butter? Like a knife butter?
And this is also the first time we get to see Vader open up an unholy can of whoop-ass, too, which...
Well, don't jump the gun on all that yet. We'll get to that
soon. Don't jump the gun. I think the film... What the film did best for me was bring a theme that, you know, made the first Star Wars great, you know, kind of bring it down to its grassroots, a bunch of misfits coming together to destroy a big weapon or, you know, essentially. And
but they're stealing plans in this one,
Yeah, stealing plans. Still, you know, the bad machine is the Death Star. And you have these band of misfits that come together and stand up to the Empire, you know, even though they're vastly outnumbered, have a slim chance, and they do their job, you know.
Well, yeah, I think you kind of hit a good point. I think that's what makes Rogue One. When you first heard they're going to tell the story of the opening crawl of Star Wars, you're kind of like, do we need this story? You know, because that was part of the mystery of it. A band of rebels stole the plans, and you didn't really necessarily need to have that story told. So the producers already have a job set out for them to make this interesting enough to tell a story that ties directly into the original film and stands on its own merit. And they do a remarkable job of that. And like you said, it's kind of nitty and gritty, and it feels more like the original films more than any of the other four Disney movies that Disney era movies have been put out so far. This one feels like it fits the most with the original films. And a lot of that, I think, is the look of the world. I mean, when they visit the planet that they test the Death Star out on, it feels like a Star Wars world where we meet Chirrut and all the stormtroopers, and you feel the presence of the Empire on this planet. And I think that's what makes it work so well. And it's just the look and feel of the film, the underground aspect of it, where we see Cassian, you know, mess around with the underground, looking for information, and it's all very, very Star Wars-ish. And I think is that a word? And I think that's what makes Rogue One so exciting, because it feels kind of fresh, but yet really familiar because of the way it looks.
I like the aspect of how they tied it perfectly into Episode 4.
Well, yeah. Well, that was the task. That you can literally watch. But, you can watch Episode 4 right after it.
Yeah.
And it goes back. We kind of jumped a little bit earlier to how they pull it off with a lot of really smartly used special effects in this film. Like, one thing they kept secret in the trailers was the use of Peter Cushing's liking for Grand Moff Tarkin. No one knew about that till they saw the film. And when you saw it at first, it threw you off a little bit at first, but then it flows so well that you accept it, and you're like, okay, this is well done. It's almost like Cushing is on screen, even though they used a body double and they used a voice double, and then they used CGI and effects to bring him back on screen, which is remarkably done, along with some of the archival footage, like Brian said, about some of the stuff that was shot for A New Hope that they didn't use. And they reused it in this, and they cleaned it up, and they brought these characters back to life to use in this film. And that's all pretty cool, you know, that they did that. So it makes it flow with the original films very well because of that reason.
Seamless.
Yeah. And they used true CGI techniques. It wasn't deep fake technology like they used in The Mandalorian season 2. You know, they used deep fake technology for Luke, you know, but this was not deep fake. This was actually CGI effects they used for Tarkin and for Leia at the end of the film.
Hand drawn, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hand animated. Yeah. Yeah.
And that was the other secret that they didn't tell anybody was about Leia in this film too. Nobody had any idea that she was going to even be in here too.
Right.
And this came out after she passed away. Yeah.
No, right before.
It was before.
I thought it was.
Yeah, yeah, no. She, before.
She passed away. I mean, they interviewed her about it.
Yeah, because she passed away after The Last Jedi was filmed. This came out between Force Awakens and The Last Jedi.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's right. I remember the theater clapping, and I was like, I could have, like, just mentally, I thought it just happened.
Yeah, no, it was later. But yeah, no. And then you have this great war battle and scene. And one thing I like about this film too is the way that the story is told, and all these characters have their own stories to tell. Whether it's Cassian, who's played wonderfully by Diego Luna, who was really, really proud to be in this film, to Bodhi, who's this soldier that's not really wanting to be in this situation that he's in, but yet he does what he has to do and ultimately ends up sacrificing himself to save the rebellion. Jen, who was caught between, just trying to basically stay alive and not get involved. And then she finds out her father is still involved in all this stuff. Who's played by Mads Mikkelsen, her father, Galen or so. And so they all have their own stories to tell. And then we have Baz and Chirrut, who are kind of travelers across the universe, and he believes in the Force, and Baz is kind of his opposite, telling him the whole time, like, that's, and basically doesn't really agree with him, but they're kind of stuck together, the way a duo is. And then, And who else? What other characters? You know, just good characters in the movie. I think is what makes
Troopers
work really well.
We get
the unfortunately, it's also a very sad movie because almost none of them survive at the end.
Yeah.
And then this movie also explains why, if you look in the meeting on the Death Star, you have that one empty seat that tells you, you know, why there is an empty seat during that meeting.
Oh, because of Director
Krennic. Just some random Star Wars fact. Yep, oh. Director Krennic.
Well, and Ben Mendelsohn is fantastic, man. Well, he's good in everything he does. He's made a career the last few years out of playing just villains, from Ready Player One to being a Skrull in Captain Marvel. And now in this, he gets to play the ultimate villain, you know, an Imperial bad guy. And he's awesome. You know, he's so good in it. And then he even goes toe-to-toe with Darth Vader a little bit on it. And Darth Vader cracks kind of a bad joke in this movie. Don't choke on your aspirations. It's like, really? Did Darth Vader just say that? That's kind of a little bit cheesy. Mm-hmm. But they did. At least they got James Earl Jones to come back and do the voice for it. Yeah.
That's true. They need to have that man say every single word in the English language as Darth Vader.
And you know, it's funny, when they were marketing this film, you know, they market it with Darth Vader in the trailers. You know, you hear his breathing, and you see him briefly in the trailer. But they didn't overmarket it because they wanted Rogue One to be on its own merit of a film. But then we got a Darth Vader scene in this movie that is probably – it's weird. The scene is weird for me. As a Star Wars fan, I can fully accept this being one of the most badass minute and a half in all of the Star Wars saga. You know, when Darth Vader – comes on to the Corvette and he unloads on the rebel soldiers trying to get the plans back. It's incredibly badass. What weirds me out about it is it doesn't fit seamlessly with the original trilogy, because it's kind of weird because Darth Vader never does anything remotely that fucking cool in the original trilogy at all. You know? So you have to take the modern filmmaking and put it next to films that were made in the 70s and 80s. And it's a little awkward for that reason alone, but it doesn't make the scene any less badass, you know? And the funny thing about this, they kept swearing, no lightsabers this movie, no lightsabers this movie. And then we get a lightsaber scene at the end of the film, which is just had the whole theater just going, holy shit, you know, essentially.
But that's what every Star Wars fan has ever wanted, was to see Darth Vader.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's an unholy can of whoop-ass.
It's absolutely a fan service scene. That's for sure. You know, and it's absolutely, you know. And it is a cool scene. It's just a little out of place as far as fitting in with the original films, but it's still a badass scene.
Is it better than Luke's entrance?
It's up there with Luke's entrance.
Yeah. Is it?
I honestly, Luke's entrance, Mando. Rewatching Mando season 2, I actually rewatched the finale recently. I think it's shot better. Filoni directed the finale, right? The way Filoni mm-hmm. builds the suspense with the monitors and them looking and Gideon's face, it has a better suspenseful feel to it. So when Luke is revealed, well, you know it's Luke. I just think it's a better shot sequence. As far as action-wise, they're pretty on par with each other. They both are badass lightsaber action. But the reveal of Luke and the suspense building up to it is just like, that's not even captured in the soldiers' faces by Darth Vader. You know, the Darth Vader scene is more horror. Like, it's a horrifying scene as he unloads on these rebel soldiers that are just trying to survive and do whatever they can for the rebellion. Where Luke's is more of a, you sense what's going on when Luke is arriving. Because as a fan, before you're watching, you know who it is. But there's still that moment that maybe it's not him. So when he's revealed, it's just like, wow, that's really cool. You know, and I just think it's a better shot sequence than the Vader shot sequence.
The Luke scene to me is like a warm and fuzzy feeling, whereas the Darth Vader scene is just like a, oh my God, this is badass kind of thing. So it's like the opposite ends of the spectrum pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I think the Luke sequence also was, I think the Luke sequence was also Filoni and Favreau's fan service to all the little sissy fucking crying fanboys that were mad they didn't get Luke kicking ass in the new trilogy. So, you know, they were like, you know what? We're going to give y'all Luke kicking ass. Here you go. You know? So I mean, it's just true. I mean, I'm so sick of these fanboys crying about the sequel trilogy. So shut up, man. You know, you didn't ruin your childhood. Your childhood still exists, you know?
Hey, we did get one scene of Luke kicking ass at the end of the last one, to an extent.
Yeah. No, I mean, he had his moments in the movie. Yeah. He has moments in those movies. But overall, man, Rogue One is, you know, what, 5 years later, you know, I think it's still a cool film. And I really like the concept of Disney and Lucasfilm doing spinoff films. I still think it's a good idea. And I hope maybe it seems now we're going to get this stuff on Disney Plus instead of films. It's a shame that the events unfolded where fans backlashed on The Last Jedi and it caused Solo not to be the success that it could have been, because I think it's now made Disney or Lucasfilm take a backseat on these ideas of spinoff movies, and they've moved them to Disney Plus instead, because it could have been a really cool thing to have more of these.
I happen to like Solo. I thought it was a really well done
movie. Oh, I do too. I enjoy Solo. You know, I enjoyed both these spinoff films. That's what I'm saying. I wish we would have gotten more. But, you know, if we get stuff like the Obi-Wan miniseries that's coming out and Ahsoka and things like that on Disney Plus, that's cool too. But there's been something cool about the theatrical experience to see these stories told on the big screen too.
The other cool thing about Rogue One I liked is seeing the appearance of Saul Guerrera from the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, Life. Played by Forrest Whitaker, Deception. Which is a little strange. And that whole weird mind-reading alien, some of that was a little strange.
Poor gullet.
Yeah. I like the fan service in the movie, you know, seeing Pondo Baba and Dr. Avezon walking through the one planet. Some of that stuff's cool, and the little cameo by 3PO and R2. That's some neat stuff.
And apparently there's supposed to be a Chopper cameo in there too.
Yeah,
but I still, Chopper, to this day, have yet to see the freaking Chopper and the ship from freaking what's that
other Rebels?
Rebels. Yeah, the Rebels ship supposed to be in there too somewhere.
I've heard that. The Ghost. Then, and then apparently you can hear the words Captain Syndulla on the intercom or something in one of the scenes, which is Hera. You know, so it's neat. You're stuff like seeing, that.
Mon Mothman.
Yeah, a young Mon Mothman,
of course, in there too. That was good.
Mm-hmm. And good action sequences, well shot. Like I said, I found K2SO a little bit annoying. That's just me, you know. But yeah, it is what it is. This movie, I really liked some of the cinematic shots in this, like where the Death Star is over that planet and it's turned sideways, and I'm just like, just the imagery in this film is just really, really cool. You know, I think. What do you long being
the
a big
one
Godzilla?
I like.
Oh, go ahead, Brian.
Huh?
I said the shot I like is when they're on Scarif at the end and they look up and see the Death Star coming up out of hyperspace. It's just the image
that was
you see
cool
from the planet of like, oh shit.
Yeah, that was cool too. Long, you being a Godzilla fan and Gareth Edwards rebooting the franchise that you love a lot, what do you think about him as a director? I mean, I think he has a very good cinematic eye.
I think he's 3 for 3. I mean, he started out with this indie film, Monsters, which
Monsters is really good.
And
yeah.
And you know, of course, I hope he keeps making movies, because I know that working for Lucasfilm burned him out a little bit. And the fact that Tony Gilroy, the guy who came in and rewrote the reshoots, I don't like Tony Gilroy. That if you read that interview about Rogue One, he comes off as extremely arrogant. Mm-hmm. He goes in there, he shits on everything that was done before, and he says he saved the movie, you know, all that.
George Clooney worked with him once, said he'd never work with him again. George Clooney couldn't stand him.
Yeah.
So, he made Michael Clayton.
But I hope. Yeah. But hopefully we'll see Gareth Edwards again. But at least he's been showing up in the cameos in some of the Star Wars movies. So I think he's still in good graces with Lucasfilm.
I think so. Well, and I think there was some backtrack on that. You know, Disney and Lucasfilm never gave a lot of weight to what Tony Gilroy said. They kind of distanced themselves from it. I know they brought him in. They had him do some reshoots and some re-edits. You know, there's a sequence of the trailer where Jin faces off against a TIE fighter, and obviously that's never in the movie. You know, and so it seems like Lucasfilm wasn't too thrilled with Gilroy's comments either. And it seems like they kind of backed off, yeah. like you said, and I think they've made Gareth Edwards a part of their family, and they appreciate what he did as far as the film goes. Because Gilroy yeah. is known for not being easy to work with in Hollywood. So, you know, he definitely deserves his due because this is a remarkable Star Wars film.
And it's kind of funny. You don't see any films from Tony Gilroy either.
No.
It's so evident. Like, if you're an asshole in Hollywood, you'll only see them a few times. But if you treat people right, you're going to start seeing that same person over and over again, you know? And
yeah.
Jack Nicholson is known to be generous. Mm-hmm. He's always being cast in films, you know, but of course he's retired now, but
yeah,
Tom Hanks is always finding work.
Gilroy's last credit was some movie named Beirut in 2018. So see, he talks shit. He talks shit as far yeah. as, Star Wars goes, and he hasn't really worked since. Now, his upcoming projects, he's getting a writer's credit for Cassian Andor series because, well, you know, he helped create the character, I guess, as far as maybe not create the character, but I guess he gets a writing credit because he helped with the screenplay for Rogue One. You know, but other than that, he hasn't done anything since. Bad-mouthing Edward, so I guess that goes to show you. But yeah, I remember reading one time, like, George Clooney yeah. did Michael Clayton with him and just couldn't stand him, so...
Yeah,
you know, and if George Clooney like you, then you're in trouble because Clooney has a lot yeah. of clout in Hollywood.
Dang, I mean,
yeah, yeah. It must take a lot to piss off Clooney too, because you know, everyone who's worked with Clooney
says he's one of the most laid back dudes in Hollywood.
People
that work with George Clooney say he is. Yes, he's a Hollywood star, but they say he's also extremely easy to work with, so I think Rogue One though holds up pretty well. I give this a solid, man, it's a solid A. I think it's a really good Star Wars movie.
Same. It's I mean the footage that they, you know, use to bring back I mean,
I'll give it an A for fan awesome. Service, but probably a B for overall plot.
I give it an A. It's a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Tarkin stuff is still really cool. I'm like, I'm still impressed how they did that. It's good stuff. And when we talked about that, I realized that was the other thing I watched this week. I finally got around to watching the making of the Mandalorian season 2 finale. And that's how I knew that they used deep fake technology to bring Luke to life. But the Tarkin was done a little bit differently. So, and if you watch that, they weren't sure how to do the Luke. And then somebody showed Jon Favreau deep fake and he's like, well, let's try it. And it ended up working. So, you know, cause they weren't really sure to do it that way. Well, that brings us to our top five this week. What?
I was going to say, I still think it's clever how they went back and got the archive footage for Rogue One. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that was really, really well thought of and just such an ingenious idea of something that probably had never been done before.
Yeah. No, it works really well. I mean, like you said, when I saw it in theaters, I was impressed by the use of that footage and stuff they did. I was like, oh, this is really cool. And it works well. Rogue One, now playing on a Disney Plus near you. So that brings us to our top five, man. And, you know, we were just talking about how it'd be cool to have more of these Star Wars spinoff films and spinoff series. So we thought we would take a look at five Star Wars stories that we'd like to see adapted to the big screen. And this was a list that I was trying to not do the obvious and do comics and games and stuff. But it's hard not to do a list and not do that because – Star Wars is so embedded into our pop culture and into our brains that we're familiar with a lot of these spinoff comics and books and stories and video games that it's almost impossible to make a list like this and not want to see those stories told on the big screen. So let's start our top five.
Yeah, Can I do my top five? Like, let me run down five, and then we could do it the normal way. So we'll be quick. Real quick. Let me start off, and I'll do all of my top five. And since Brian's a guest, you know, he'll be in the normal rotation. But I'll be quick with mine real quick. My top five, I did nothing but Star Wars novels. So my number five, I put Death Troopers because it's a zombie story of stormtroopers that came out years ago. You guys might recognize it. Four, another novel, Fallen Stars. It's about two Imperial cadets who have a career. One of them becomes a rebel, and the other one stays in the Imperial fleet. And it's a romance story, which is really well done. It was set in the time of the original trilogy as well. Number three, Darth Bane trilogy. A really good series of books. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's set about, I think, 2,000 years before. It's 600 years before the original trilogy. It's about the rise of Darth Bane. And number two, another is like the Old Republic story called Darth Malgus. Very well written. And number one, I did the Timothy Zahn trilogy. But that's my number one. So
Speaking of Timothy Zahn, I've actually met him a couple times. He's really cool.
Yeah. Did he wear his Battlestar Galactica jacket?
No, actually, when I met him when he was down for Comic Palooza a year before last, he was in his 501st racing jersey and came and hung out with us.
Oh, that's cool. Okay, so you guys do your thing. All
right, Brian, I guess I'll start.
What do you have at number five, Brian?
My number five, the Crimson Empire comic books. I'd like to see that series put into a movie.
What's the premise of that one?
Just like the Dark Empire stuff with the Royal Guards and the stuff.
Right, the ones in red.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Nice. I would like not necessarily a stormtrooper corps, but you know, like the other special sects, like, you know, you had the Bad Batch and Clone Wars, like, you know, if they have like dark trooper. Or some of these other troopers, just like a commando type movie, but like with them, you know, it's like a band of Empire, you know, sharpshooters. If they have sharpshooters, you know,
sort of like the Commandos video game.
Yeah.
Or Republic Commandos.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're a Republic Commando, but with the Empire, you know?
So an opposite to Rogue One, essentially.
Yeah.
At number five, I put I know it's a favorite of Matt's, and it's the Dark Empire comic trilogy. But I mentioned this on the show a while back that I recently reread these, and they're not as strong as I remember them being. But I think there's a good enough story there that could make a good movie with some fine tuning and some, you know, good scripting. You know. So I think Dark Empire would have made for a really cool sequel trilogy to Return of the Jedi. Number four, Brian.
So number four, I put a Jedi training movie where you basically have like a Padawan and he shows how they go through becoming a Jedi through, you know, the trials and going through and finding your kyber crystal that goes and talks, that calls to you, and building your lightsaber and all that kind of stuff. I think that would make for a really cool movie because nobody knows how, you know, what it takes to become a Jedi. You see bits and pieces of the training throughout the movies, but you never.
Yeah, and they tease it in the Clone Wars a little bit with a couple episodes, but yeah, you never really got.
You might like this one, may be on someone's list, but Force Unleashed. You know, I like that storyline. I like the secret apprentice thing. You know, why not? It's more Vader-y.
I think it'd be cool. Well, the problem with the Force Unleashed now is they filled in those gaps already between the Rebels cartoons and Rogue One and stuff. So it feels like that story would be more of a what if story. You know, but I agree. Before. Yeah. the Disney buyout and the redoing the continuity, it would have been cool. But now it's like, yeah, they've kind of filled in those gaps, you know. But it's a good idea. At my number four, I have a obviously very famous story, and that's A Knights of the Old Republic. Again, it's a video game story, so in video game format, it's told very well. And you know, but I think if you flesh it out with some good script writing, there could be a good story there.
See, I have Old Republic at number three is where I have it. So my number three would be an Old Republic story. And I agree with what Mark said. You know, just taking the video game itself and putting it into a movie format would be really cool.
Yeah. I have for my number three, I have like an old Sith Lords story, like, you know, like Long had mentioned earlier, like a Darth Bane, maybe a Darth Plagueis, you know, just whenever there were more than one, and then they had the rule of two, and the Sith Creed, you know, get that in there. I know it's alluding to KOTOR, but, you know, just like a Sith Lord one, like a Sith Academy. There we go. Like if they did like a Sith Academy versus like a Padawan Academy, and they're like, there is no passionism. Oh, I forget the Sith Creed. Yeah. There is no whatever only okay, passion.
You're just stumbling over your words now.
I know. I'm trying to conjure up my memory.
And yeah, number three, it before he hurts himself.
Sith Lords.
I know, right? And number three, I have one Brian has list, and I agree. I think the Crimson Empire comics are really cool. I always thought that would have made a badass story to tell that side of the Empire and the training of the Royal Guards and what it takes to be the Emperor's best soldiers. With some really great artwork in those books, too, in the Crimson Empire books. But that would be my number three.
So my number two is a Vader story. I want a true, like, what Vader does and how Vader goes and hunts down all the remaining Jedis and just a good story of Vader just going and whooping some Jedi ass. That's what I want to see.
Nice. Hunting down Jedis, taking them out.
They've done some of that in the comics, I know. They've done some comic stories about it. Yeah. Yeah.
I've got KOTOR for number two, like the, you know, Darth Revan, you know, waking up, using dark and light simultaneously. Cool story.
Number two, I have the other really popular sequel trilogy, and that is the Heir to the Empire, Timothy Zahn trilogy, where we're introduced to Grand Admiral Thrawn that really was a really great story with three great books, and they adapted them to comics and stuff. And I think those would always thought those would make really cool movies.
Before I get to my number one, I do have a not honorable mention that I would never want to see a movie on, and that would be anything involving Jar Jar Binks.
Sith Lord Jar Jar Binks.
No more Jar Jar Binks, please. No. But my number one is more fan serve than anything else, but it's a movie on Yoda.
There we go.
He lived for like 800 years or
so. Yeah.
Exactly. And I want to see the Yoda we saw in the prequels with him jumping around and just wielding the lightsaber and all the kind of cool little hermit battles and just all that kind of stuff.
Watch the Clone really Wars, cool. Man. There's yeah, all man. Kinds of good
in that. I know it's all over the Clone Wars, but I just want to see a straight Yoda movie.
Spinning around like he's just flying through it like a Beyblade through the entire film, you know,
exactly.
Lawnmowering, you know, stormtroopers or whatever, you know.
Maybe you should have the movie about how Yoda became, you know, a Jedi or some of his younger years or just whatever. You can never have too much Yoda.
I agree. My number one was Mark's number five. It's Dark Empire, man. You know, Luke turning to the dark side, reviving the Emperor, and then Leia, you know, having to hone her Jedi skills and turn Luke back and defeat the Emperor together. It's a cool story.
And number one, which is still my to this day, one of my favorite side Star Wars stories. That's Shadows of the Empire. I really enjoyed the hell out of that when it came out with Dash Rendar. I loved the Nintendo 64 game and the comics. And I still have the novel sitting over on my bookshelf over here. And that was just a fun story. It was one of the biggest, one of the first really big multimedia projects that Lucasfilm ever did, tying into the original trilogy. And we had toys and games and books and all kinds of stuff. We had everything but the movie to tie into it. That was the whole way they sold it back in the day. And I always wish we could have gotten a movie of that. Like, it would have been really cool to see Shadows of the Empire brought to life. So cool.
Dash Rendar.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some news before we close things out today. A lot of Marvel news. Let's start with Marvel. We got an announcement this past week and a brief trailer. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was an extremely popular Spider-Man film from a couple years ago, and arguably one of the best, not just comic book movies, but Spider-Man movies ever made. And we know the sequel's coming. So they announced that the sequel has been pushed back to October of next year, and it's going to be called, Across the Spider-Verse? Yeah. And it's going to be two parts. So they're going to do two sequels, which is really cool, as the story of Miles Morales continues in animated form. And, I'm looking forward to that. Spider-Man 2099 is going to be brought into it. And the trailer was cool. And I really like Into the Spider-Verse quite a bit. One of my favorite comic movies of the last few years. So I'm looking forward to the sequel. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it looks like Miles is older, of course. And then you've got Lady who's playing Kate Bishop. She's one.
Haley Steinfeld.
Yeah,
Seinfeld. Haley Steinfeld.
Steinfeld. Oh, I almost want to say Seinfeld.
Yeah, she's the voice of Gwen.
I think it's going to be great. I mean, the first one was a success. Will we get Nick Cage Spider-Man again, though?
Apparently he's already signed on to come back as Spider-Man.
Sweet.
The couple of announcements from Kevin Feige this week. He didn't say that they would be bringing Daredevil into the MCU, but he basically said that if they bring Daredevil in, he doesn't plan on recasting, that Charlie Cox will be welcome back to play Matt Murdock in Daredevil, which I think is good. Everyone really liked him. And they announced officially that they have begun work on a sequel to Shang-Chi, which is cool because I really enjoyed that movie. So we kind of knew he'd be back, you know, in some way.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move to DC. Colin Farrell has announced that they are going to be doing a Penguin series for HBO Max that ties in with the Batman movie next year. So that'll be interesting. So it seems like DC is going to build their little world here separate from the Snyderverse with a series of, you know, shows and movies on HBO Max and theaters. You know, between the Penguin show and the Gotham City show and the Batgirl movie. So they're doing things a little different, but we'll see how it all turns out. I actually think the new Disney film is called Strange Worlds. And it's going to be like a neo-noir pulp movie. I think that sounds really cool. Disney, we know they're really good at what they do. And, I thought that was a cool announcement to hear they're going to do a pulp-style animated film. We got a trailer this week, or last night, in fact, for Sonic the Hedgehog 2. It's a kid film, but, man, Sonic was a welcome surprise because the first one was actually way better than people expected to be. It was actually a very, very entertaining film and highly successful, so they got a sequel. All the kids are excited about it because it's got Knuckles and Tails and more Hedgehog characters in it, so...
People love Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he's fun in the movie.
It's been a revival for him.
It really is a fun movie. It was way better than I expected it to be, and just it's a good fun movie. So
yeah.
And then lastly, something that came down the pipe last night: Cowboy Bebop was canceled after just 3 weeks on Netflix. I don't know how Netflix works. Apparently, it had 74 million viewers. But they came out as the viewing declined, and we're only going to get one season of the live-action show. Netflix is dumb sometimes. I don't know. You know, they have right now, they have just a 60% success rate of their shows make it to a second season. And they wonder why their numbers are dropping and Disney Plus HBO Max's numbers continue to rise. Well, I don't know if it's
canceling stuff.
Yeah, they cancel so much stuff on Netflix. You know, you want your viewers to commit to something, but it's hard to commit to a show if you don't know if you're going to get more than one season of it. Yeah, and Cowboy Bebop may have not been super well received, but wasn't that bad. Overall, it was pretty well done, and I enjoyed it. You know, and it's a shame, and you know, people make excuses. Oh, animes can't be adapted. No, that's not true. You know, it's just, I don't know. Maybe Netflix is spending their money.
It's a tough crowd, man.
Yeah. And maybe Netflix is oversaturating themselves. Just too much stuff, and they can't keep up with all their own content. So, because there is, you know, a lot of stuff coming out constantly right now. Every week you turn on one of the streaming services, there's three or four new shows. You know, TV kind of had a golden age the last few years with streaming, but maybe it's starting to take a step back, you know? That's just too much content to keep up with.
Hey, 19 days till Book of Boba. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh yeah. I mean, the last 13 days of this year are going to be incredible. I mean, you have Spider-Man, The Matrix, Boba Fett, and Cobra Kai all in the last 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks of the year. I mean, so we will have pop culture overload here in a few weeks as far as all the stuff that's coming out.
So, shoot, looking at the timelines, Mark, like we were talking the other day, looks like we're going to have 2022 is going to be the year of Star Wars with the way everything's lining out from what I've been hearing lately, because you've got, you know, Book of Boba Fett, and you've got the Obi-Wan and Ahsoka and all the different series. Looks like they're going to run them back to back to back, so we'll have a full year, pretty much a full year of Star Wars on Disney+.
Well, it's kind of like what they do with Marvel. They've always got a Marvel show going. You might have a couple weeks off here and there, but generally it's had shows all year, so... But Disney's doing their thing. That's why they're going to take over the planet and call it Disney World.
Nice.
Disney World or Disneyland?
Well, I got a couple of announcements that were announced last night during the Video Game Awards. They are releasing the first Star Wars video game based on the High Republic.
I saw that. Eclipse? Setting.
Yeah. Eclipse. Right.
Yeah.
I watched the trailer. And we might see a slightly younger Yoda in this one. So, And then they also Warner Brothers game announced the very first ever Wonder Woman video game. And it's being done by Monolith, who did a very successful Lord of the Rings Shadow of Mordor video game.
Hmm.
Yeah. So finally, Wonder Woman gets her first video game.
What about that Star Wars Hunters game that someone sent a trailer to me? Have y'all heard anything about that? It's supposed to come out on the Switch.
Like a Overwatch version of, like, it's kind of like Overwatch. Is that what?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I got the official trailer. I was looking at it the other day. A buddy of mine sent it to me.
Oh, I saw that. But I think it's going to be like a. I don't think it's going to be like a disc game. I think it's going to be like a game you can buy on the Nintendo Store. Yeah, I saw something about it. Yeah, I saw the Wonder Woman game. That's cool. I still want to know what happened to the apparent Superman game that Rocksteady was working on. I guess it's never going to happen, you know?
No. So, I think they went with Suicide Squad versus JLA game instead.
Yeah.
Same studio that you just mentioned.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's preview next week's film before we get out of here. This is a movie that... 20 years old, man. And when this came out, it was a huge event every Christmas for 3 years as people flocked to theaters to finally see J.R. Tolkien's famous book series brought to life on the big screen. And we got our first film around Christmas of 2001 when The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring finally hit theaters.
Legend tells of a ring created by an ancient evil that gave its wearer the power to enslave the world, believed lost for centuries. It has now been found.
Is it secret? Is it safe?
This is the One Ring, forged by the Dark Lord Sauron. Sauron stone in this ring to cover all the lands of a second darkness. He is seeking it. Seeking it all. His thought is bent on it.
No one knows it's here, do they? Do they, Gandalf?
The weapon of the enemy is a gift. Let us use it against him.
You cannot wield it. None of us can.
The ring must be destroyed.
It was made in the fires of Mount Doom. Only there can it be unmade.
I know what I must do, but I'm afraid to do it.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
There is no other way. There's something down there. Precious.
You know, when this came out, man, I knew what the Lord of the Rings was, but I never read the books. I had no ball in the park, so to speak. I didn't care whether it was screen accurate to the book or not. I just went into it.
Same.
Enjoying the films for what they were. And I walked out of that first film going, wow, that was cool. I can't wait to see the next one. And that's how I took the Lord of the Rings films at the time and still do. I enjoy them for remarkable pieces of filmmaking by director Peter Jackson. And so we're going to look back on it next week, 20 years later. We will be watching the extended versions because that's the way to do it. And we're not doing three straight weeks of Lord of the Rings. We will cover the other two films eventually. But for right now, we're just doing The Fellowship of the Ring next week in the show. And kind of looking forward to it. I haven't watched Fellowship in some time, so I'm kind of looking forward to going back and revisiting this movie.
Make sure you have like 4 hours of free time.
Oh, I know. Well, I'll probably watch it over a couple of nights. Yeah. So that's next week's show. Thank you, Brian, for coming on and talking Rogue One with us. You know, and
always enjoy coming on and talking Star Wars.
Our fellow Star Wars nerd. The RebelRadioPodcast.com is where you can find all your Rebel Radio needs. And continue to stay safe out there. And we thank you, as always, for listening. Thank you, Brian, for supporting the show and listening as well. And that's it for this week. Until next time, this is Mark.
This is Matt.
Long the Vulcan. Live long and prosper.
This is Brian.
Long just had to fuck it up. Until next week, remember, as always, just go there and do it.